some fun, show you how it's done, TGI.
Don't worry, James. Instead of acting like you're getting fouled, just act like Kendall Jenner.
Hey, baby.
Kendall, what are you doing here?
And the pitch. Struck him out swinging. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Oh, hail the King James. He'll be the J23. Better get the heck out of his way. You will pay. Slam dunk, fool your punk. Somebody call Stephen A. Oh, LeBron James.
We're going to have some fun. Show you how it's done. TGI.
Good morning, Mad Radio on a Friday on Sports Radio 610, the fourth day of May. We are live at the Insperity Championship up in the Woodlands. Seth Payne to my left, Mike Meltzer, Landry back in studio at the controls. We have a lot to get into, even though things continue to go poorly from our standpoint in Houston. And we can begin with LeBron. We can begin with the Astros.
Let's work our way backwards through that good montage that Landry put together. What do we have there? Was that that LeBron James song?
Yes.
I've only seen the video of the white tribute. Dude dancing.
Did he come up with a song, too?
Yes, he does all his own vocals. He can actually sing, man.
Well, he can actually dance, too.
I kind of like it.
I've got to, my first instinct is to ridicule that guy, but he's doing a bunch of stuff that I can't do.
You guys are both farmers. He farms in his free time. Like, the guy's got the same roots as you, man.
He's a farmer. Like, what kind of a farmer is he? Like these
an Ohio farmer.
There's like nothing, a hardcore Ohio farmer. That's how he's so jacked. He works on the farm a lot.
I've told you this before. One of the best things about the legalization of marijuana is that slowly over time, people that thought they were going to get rich pot farming are going to, as it becomes normal and then you're not selling an illegal product anymore.
They got to work hard.
You're going to have to go have fun with your 16-hour days making barely above minimum wage. That's the
so
glorious
that's the issue.
Life of a farmer. Welcome to our world.
Well,
yeah.
If we work our way backwards, then we would begin with another just unbelievable, sensational performance from one of the greatest players of all times, because LeBron James last night was unbelievable. He had 43 points, 14 assists, 8 rebounds, and courtesy of our good friend Nick Wright, you know how many guys have had 40 points and 14 assists in a playoff game in the history of the NBA playoffs?
Zero.
None.
Until him?
Not one guy
it
until
is
last
done.
Night.
The LeBron James, I have got a personal grudge against LeBron James now because he's making an absolute fool of me. I said that LeBron James, even in all his greatness, I don't argue against any of that, but that there was just no way that he was going to be able to drag this year's team into the NBA Finals.
It's a garbage team. It has been a garbage team.
It's a slightly less garbage team than it was before the trade deadline.
Yes.
LeBron James, who basically, you know what? I'm going to have to even give him credit for quitting on the team in January because it sparked movement.
Yeah.
It sparked the necessary moves to make it a less trash team. And then he's sitting here dragging his team through the playoffs again. I'll say in game one, it wasn't. In game
he
one, it wasn't
great.
All him. He wasn't great at all. I mean, he made the plays
Everybody
in the fourth
actually
quarter.
Played well.
And then it was actually. But in game two, where this is what sounds exhausting about game two. Everybody knew he was tired
by
after.
By the way, the Cavs won 128-110 in Toronto in game two.
After going 7 games in the first series, he was bedraggled. He was tired. He was exhausted. He
they
said he
no
just wanted
off.
To go home and go to sleep. So he's been on this extreme recovery program, which frankly sounds exhausting. The recovery program sounds like it would tire you out even more, but he's been very diligent about getting his sleep. They said yesterday he was doing nonstop recovery techniques all day long, the cupping, the massage, whatever. I'm sure he was cold tubbing and all this stuff. And he comes out and they said in shoot around that he looked very comfortable and very, everything was draining in shoot around, which doesn't
always.
Well,
that's a bad sign for Toronto.
Well, it's a bad sign when, the MO for Toronto was they're going to go ahead and try to make his shot work. The problem was that his shot was really, really, really working. Well, I mean, if they're going to go under screens and give him space to shoot, and he's shooting. He made 7 fadeaways and was just crushing them.
Here's an amazing stat via Brian Windhorst. LeBron James last night had 26 contested shots. He made 17 of them.
Yeah.
This reminded me last night of the famous epic Game 6 in Boston where he was draining jump shots all over the place. It was like it was just so quiet in the arena. And the shots that he was making last night, these would never be advisable almost for anybody. They might be advisable for MJ or Kobe just because those guys are such great shot makers or were such great shot makers. But these shots, fadeaways, from like right below the three-point arc. Just crazy shots, and almost everyone was going in. It was unbelievable.
Landry and I were talking before the show, and Landry had said that his mom's a huge LeBron fan. And Landry, what did you say? You said you were going to give her, you'd try to get her tickets to a game, but then you probably wouldn't end up playing that game.
Yeah.
And then it reminded me. Well, listen, though. The NBA, this is where we love to complain about NBA getting scheduling wrong or the NFL botching various things. The NBA, as a league that really gets a lot of the logical things done better than the NFL. Like the NBA, you know what the NBA does? They have problems and they nip them in the bud.
Yes.
They take care of them. This year, they spread the games out. They change the travel schedules to make the travel schedules easier. They talk to the star players about how important it was that they play. And how many games do you think LeBron James played this year?
All 82.
82.
Yes.
LeBron James played 82 games.
Which is stunning in year 15.
Yeah.
Stunning.
And then after a game, a series in which he was worn out and tired, and then he did act like he was some kind of victim that they only got one day rest before the second series began, but it's just because he's so unaccustomed to not going seven games. I think did he actually think that somehow they got screwed over? Like, because he just didn't realize, maybe, like, oh, no, this is what happens?
Maybe he just wanted to send some kind of message.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, think about this. If you look at the guys taken in the top five in the 03 NBA draft, which I actually went to, Carmelo Anthony, who looks done, Chris Bosh, who's done for health reasons, and Dwayne Wade. And then LeBron James.
What a draft.
And Darko, who's been done for a long time. But you think about LeBron, who's playing almost as well offensively this year as he has over the course of his entire career. And I have been totally wrong on this series. I said the Raptors would win. I thought they'd win fairly easily. I thought they'd win in six. Not as an anti-LeBron opinion, but I just thought the team around him was so dreadful, and they provided nothing in the series against Indiana that I'm like, hey, Toronto runs 8, 9, 10 deep. They'll be fine. And I have been completely wrong on that. Totally wrong.
How much we're not going to get into these discussions today, I would imagine, about LeBron potentially coming to Houston and whatnot. I will only say, though, I don't know what the timeline is for LeBron. We've seen in football where Tom Brady and others have really pushed that age limit, that upper age limit, into the 40s and beyond. And it's kind of you're readjusting what your expectations are of aging quarterbacks, at least. I don't know what it is for LeBron. I don't know how many more years you can expect him to put out like this.
But
he played all 82 games. Two or three. Have said that? What would you have said 2 or 3 years ago? Would you have said 5 or 6?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But right now I'll say 2 or 3. I think you're looking at two or three years
before
at
he
this
has to
level.
Which is really a long time.
It is
if
a long
you're talking
time.
About a guy that can single-handedly get you to a championship, that if you're adding him to whichever team. And now, like, without talking about him coming to Houston, him going anywhere, him going somewhere in the West especially, then it becomes a really, really crowded field in the West. I don't know what you do at that point.
It's just remarkable. I mean, you kind of run out of adjectives to describe what's going on.
You know what would happen? If LeBron James went to the West, that one move would change the playoff format. They would have to. Like, you can't sit there with LeBron James in the West. They would go to the 16 seeds.
1 through 16?
They would just go ahead and go 1 through 16.
Maybe. I still think
which is still unfair to the West. Because those teams in the East are going to end up getting into the playoffs and seeded just based on.
But the Eastern Conference owners wouldn't go for anything different.
Yeah.
And that's just. And the balance of power is not going to change that.
But you'd have to, would you not? Because then you'd have, like,
well,
let's say if you just transplant LeBron James to the Western Conference this year, then all of a sudden you have three teams that are capable of winning a championship.
Yes.
And the East is just a complete vast wasteland.
It's hard for me to say, just mainly because it's been so long that the West has been the dominant conference that I don't even know what would change even with that hypothetical. Now, on the flip side, before that happened, as we kind of work our way back, we're live at the Insperity Championship in the Woodlands this morning. It appeared as though the Astros were on the verge of what would have been a very big win against the Yankees. Four-run comeback in the seventh.
Oh.
Chris Devinsky had a great eighth inning, and then Will Harris came on to try to close things out in the ninth.
Giancarlo! No si può stopparlo! Walker at second, and Andujar at first, and no one out. Here's Gleyber Torres, bases loaded, no one out. Yankees down by two, and the pitch is lined to left field. It's a base hit. Walker will score. Here comes Andujar. He scores all the way to third. Goes Hicks, and the game is tied at 5. a terrific Yankees comeback. And, hey, let's be honest. If they can't take the lead now, shame on them. They have first and third and no one out. And Bregman decided to go to second for the double play rather than come home. And the Yankees take a 6-5 lead. So the tying run's at second. The winning run is at first. And here is Altuve. And the pitch. Struck him out swinging. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
All right, I'm done with him. I'm done with that announcer.
That was a brutal loss. John Sterling on the fan
of New York. I'm done with John Sterling. Well, I've had enough of that. As much as I was singing his praises yesterday, I despise him.
Well,
I loathe him.
You don't have to see him for a while. Sick or hear him. That was a brutal loss and a flat-out bad homestand. You have a 10-game homestand, you're the defending World Series champions, and you lose a series to the Angels, and you lose 3 or 4 to the Yankees. I know it's May 4th, but I'm not doing a show in September or August right now. We're doing the show now. That was a bad homestand. They got punched in the face, and that was a flat-out bad homestand. A terrible job by the relievers. Now, we can have an issue with Bregman, whether he decides to go home or go to second. I'm going to give deference to Bregman because of how terrific he has been defensively for this team, especially in clutch moments. Will Harris is not a closer. When you bring in Will Harris, and the part that frustrates me, it's one thing if they just beat you with their quality, you know, Andujar, Torres, and then Judge gets on base, all this kind of stuff. You can't start off an inning in which you're up by 2 runs against the Yankees and walk Neil Walker on 5 pitches. You can't. That can't happen. Neil Walker is hitting 171. How do you just give this dude first base?
You got to pitch around Neil Walker. Now, to be fair, I mean, he wasn't trying to
throw the ball over the plate.
They were close. Those were all very close. Those were all very
good enough.
I don't know what kind of zone the umpire was giving them that day, but those are very good. You can't just go guns a-blazing in there at Neil Walker. He'll tear you apart. He'll rip you a new one.
If Neil Walker hits a solo home run, fine. He's also slugging 171, by the way.
What do you do at that point? Was there a part of you that just wanted them to put Giles in? Like, AJ, just do it. Just do it. Test him right now. This will either be great
or it'll
destroy Giles completely. Well, It could have saved Giles. That would have been the highest leverage move ever in the history of the Astros.
Just bring him in.
That's a little bit of an exaggeration.
Bring him in the middle of the inning?
Bring him in the ninth.
Okay,
in the ninth to close.
Well,
and just say, like, all right, you know what? Either you're gonna be punching your lights out 3 outs from now, or you're gonna be.
It'll be a great save.
Yeah, and then maybe you'll get back on the right path.
All right, I have to admit this.
Punching somebody's lights out is good in baseball. I'm talking about him punching himself in the face.
I did not want Hinch to bring Giles into the game, but the more I think about it, and I know it might be unfair to do this, he probably should have brought in Giles or at least gone with Devinsky for an extra inning.
Oh no, I don't think that was the right. I don't think it would have been the right thing to do. I felt like that was the thing in my gut. That was one of those emotional kind of.
You didn't want to see him
like,
out there.
Passive-aggressive things where you want something to happen even though you know it's probably not the right move.
Yes.
But the impulsive side of me wanted him to just send Giles out there.
Yeah. Well, actually, my emotional side didn't want to see Giles because of what happened 2 nights earlier.
Yeah, I know, because you're scared. I'm saying I was being petulant and angry and just self-destructive.
Okay.
You know? Sometimes you just want to feel pain.
So
sometimes
you just want to, right. You can take your anger and ascribe it all to Ken Giles.
You're putting way too much thought into this. I can't. This is the same way you were asking, like, why did Conor McGregor throw that traffic barricade under the bus? I'm like, because sometimes you just want to do it. That's what I wanted to do yesterday. When it got to the ninth inning, I just wanted to throw the barricade, which is Ken Giles, into the bus, which was the New York Yankees.
Mark Vandermeer is going to join us this morning at 8 o'clock. We look forward to that. Is there a new option for the Texans to back up Deshaun Watson? This is a guy who they reported to like in the pre-draft process a few years ago, and now he's available. That's next, Mad Radio Sports Radio 610.